then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show. Cause the God of mountains is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
You turn seasons to high.
moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am grateful, I will sing of the
speaking to someone this morning here. I'm not pointing any one person out, but I was told like what the Bible says not to do. I'm not pointing anyone out. I said what not to do. Let's start worrying about what it says what to do. To get down on our faces and praise Him. Not emotionally, not to be in our emotions, just to praise Him in spirit and truth. Let's sing this one more time and let's let the Lord just lift His praises this morning. Forget about the enemy's telling me you're too fat, you have tattoos, you have this, you can't be in this. Because that's what I was told this morning. And I couldn't. And it's not about me. I just want the Lord to be lifted high. Let's sing it one more time. Let's give it all we can. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Is He worthy? I want you to tell me, is He worthy this morning? Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all the praise? Can He really set you free this morning? I'm here to tell you that He can. He can. He can. He can. He can break the chains. Just cry out to Him in faith this morning. God is good. God is good. Amen. Woo. Sorry, y'all. Spirit hit me. I want to ask you today, it is that your trust is in. Real quick. I don't want to take long. Do you trust in your life? What is they trust in? Do you have confidence in the way you live? In the good things you do? The fight that you fight, you know, we run this race. We have confidence in our running the race. Do we think that God is grading on a curve and that the little things that we do are going to be able to be enough to get us where we need to go? Let's turn real quick to Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 20, just the beginning part of the verse. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. And that word justified means to be declared righteous or just or to be made right with God. The Bible says that by the law, don't be confused or necessarily pushed away by that law. But just look at it as that there's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God. You can't do it good enough. But are you trusting in what you're doing? Are you trusting in that? What are you trusting in today to get you right with God? Skip down to verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of His glory. We all fall, we all sin. And once we sin, it's over. Ephesians 2 says we're dead in trespasses and sin. So if we think that with this sin present in our life that we can still measure up somehow by basically canceling it out with our own goods, the Bible is letting us know we can't do that. What are you trusting in today? Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now hold on. There's a justification the Bible is letting us know can come as a gift, which is found through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who died upon the cross. Now how do we obtain that justification? Going down to verse 28, for we maintain that a man is not justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in you? Are you trusting in what you can do and what you can accomplish with Christ? Even then, we can miss it, because even after Christ and we have him, the Bible says that we still fall. So if I trust in my own running of the good race to the end, I'm still in trouble, because I'm trusting in myself to be able to hold on to Christ to the end. But the Bible tells me it's just faith. I have to trust in what he's done, not that what I can do. I have to trust in him. What are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in you? Are you trusting in what you can do and what you can accomplish? Or is your faith and trust in Christ Jesus? I encourage you that justification, being made right with God our Creator, who we spent worshiping today, we are made right by him with faith that has been freely offered to us as a gift to all who would just believe in his name. What do you trust in today? That's all I have to say. It's offering time, y'all. It's time to give back to God what he has been faithful to bless us with. And I would go ahead and add that the 10% tithe was a law. 10% is where it starts, not where it ends. I feel like sometimes we just throw our 10%, and I've done my 10% like I'm supposed to. It says we're supposed to be good stewards. If you actually study in the New Testament, you're supposed to go beyond just the what is basically commanded by God, but to go ahead and offer more out of thanks and to give a sacrificial offering, not only of praise and of lifestyle, but stewardship of what he's given to us and giving it back and trusting him and putting that money, whatever it may be, toward his kingdom. And if we didn't get anything back from that other than just knowing that somewhere ears heard the gospel, that this money we're giving helps to proclaim the word of Christ to those who don't know it, if that was the only thing that we got out of it, would we give it?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are those dry bones in the valley that Ezekiel saw. Amen. And we have been risen up to be an army. We have been restored, put back together to be an army. And you are part of a mighty army. Don't look at yourself like you're small in the kingdom, because no one is small in the kingdom. If you're a part of that army, you're important to the kingdom. And I want to thank you for being faithful here in this body to do your part. Thankfully, I got to witness your part. You know, I was scheduled to go to Togo. And then Togo shut down due to COVID. And my trip changed at last minute to the Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. So we went to do a mission, a miracle crusade in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. And we have a missionary couple who was supposed to be in Cameroon. They got rerouted to Cote d'Ivoire. Only God. Only God. And they still got their eyes set on Cameroon, but they are serving faithfully in Cote d'Ivoire. And I got an opportunity to bring Kevin and Mariah Thompson to Abidjan and spend a day in the life of a team that do miracle crusades. And I want to tell you that the team I served with made me so proud, because they adopted those two AG missionaries and they loved on them. They poured into them financially and spiritually. They spoke words of prophecy over them and, you know, just encouraged the work that the Lord is doing with them. And I want to share just a little bit this morning about what's going on there with Kevin and Mariah. Now, let me say that, first of all, for 2 years, I've had an empty hole in my spirit because I was grounded. You know, I thought that international travel was going to be something I did more, not less. And I did a lot of things trying to fill that void, a lot of good things. And I don't begrudge any of that. I'm glad that I had the opportunity. But nothing would fill that hole until I got back to Abidjan and it came flooding back in. Matter of fact, it started in Washington Dulles Airport when I saw my first miracle there, that God used me mightily and allowed me to be a part of what he was doing in one man's life who never heard of Jesus, but was still healed. And things just escalated. I operate, was able to be a part of a group, and we operated under a corporate anointing like I've never experienced before. Normally, we do see blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, and we see the mute speak and the crippled walk. But normally it takes a little time. This time it didn't take any at all. In less than a minute, I had deaf ears coming open. Less than a minute. Normally that kind of thing is 15, 20 minutes. And on this trip, normally I see about 25% of the people I pray for leave with improvement through the working of miracles. And I know that the rest is coming. This time, only three people were not totally walking in the manifestation of their healing when I walked away from them. Only three. I believe the latter day's rain is here. We are operating in it now. So Kevin and Mariah came in on Thursday, and we got together Thursday afternoon. I had lunch, a late lunch with them, and their first experience in a miracle crusade was Thursday night. And the pastor who was preaching that night called for the blind. He put them on one side of the platform, and then he called for the deaf and put them on the other side. And we began to lay hands on those people, and then in a matter of minutes, they were all healed. And I watched this young missionary couple dance and jump and holler and praise God, you know, so excitedly, so excitedly. And then after our meeting was over, we went back and we had dinner at the hotel. And Everybody just doted over them, I'm telling you. They really did. And then Pastor David and I carried them back to our hotel room. We were sharing a hotel room. We carried them back to our hotel room, and we began to talk to them about their ministry, and they were asking countless questions about healing. And so we just were having school. It's about 10:30 at night, and we went on and on for about a few hours. And finally, I noticed the clock, and it was like 1:35. I get up at 5. I got a big day. I got pastors to teach and a big day coming. And so I said, well, guys, it's getting late. And Mariah said, school's over. I think they'd have stayed all night. I don't think I had it to stay all night. But they shared with us how that they had been doing evangelistic work about, I think it's between 3 and 4 hours from where they live, from where the compound where they live, that traveled 3 or 4 hours. It's a village in the center of 10 other villages. And that's where they targeted first to take the gospel. And they have been going there and sharing with people and preparing for a large service, their own crusade there in this village. And they had shared all around. And Kevin and Mariah went back to be prepared because Kevin was going to preach the next day his first sermon in French. Now, he's preached before, but he was getting ready to do his first sermon in French. And he was a little bit nervous about that. But part of the team members stayed in the village. And after Kevin and Mariah left, they began to pray for people. And people, they brought someone who was sick to them, and they prayed for that person, and she was healed. Actually, the chief's wife got healed that night. So the next day when Kevin and Mariah show up, they're expecting a small group, and they had laid out where the size of the church that they're going to put up there, and would just staked it off, and they put chairs in there, and they had an overflow crowd. They had 200 children get saved, and over 50 adults. Now they've got a church in that community. It's in the center of 10 other villages. They are in the process of having a building built. The way that the Assemblies of God, they have a welding shop and a fabrication shop there in Abidjan. And they build this metal frame. And then teams come from America and will help erect the metal frame. And then the villages close it in. It takes $10,000 to put up this metal frame, to purchase and get it there. And they have raised $300 of the $10,000. And they're believing by February they'll have the remainder. But they need a team. They need some help setting up this facility. And Pastor asked me this morning, would I be available? And I'm looking to you to help because I'll make myself available. I tell you that there was an empty spot. Well, it's been filled. So if the Lord puts it upon your heart, I will ask you this morning to pray about going to the Ivory Coast in February to build a church. And I also believe that we can build it. I mean fund it. I think we can put it together. It seems to be a well thought out plan. I do construction, so I was interested in knowing how all this stuff was going to work. And I have faith in the plan. I believe they have mastered how to do this thing. But we need some helpers. It'll cost you an airline ticket there and back. It'll cost you $100 a day. That's lodging, food, travel, everything. So it's not that expensive. We can do this. Carpenter's Shop has been faithful to missions. It really has. And I applaud you all. But I think we're supposed to take a hands-on step. I can guarantee it will change your life. You will come back radically changed. Especially those of you who have never been before. So you pray about it. And you just ask God, is this my time? I tell you that the time is getting shorter. It really is. I'm convinced of it. We're one day closer. Every one of us has an assignment stamped on our lives. And, you know, I was talking with someone this morning. We will never fully understand the meaning of Ephesians 3:20. But I'm going to do everything I can to press in as deep as I possibly can, to learn as much as I possibly can, and see as much as I possibly can. So if you had a fleeting thought, that might be me. It probably is. Don't talk yourself out of it. I do again applaud you for all you've done. I do you again. You know, I was disappointed I was not going to be able to be here when Bart was here. Because I love Bart, and I'm sorry I missed him. And I'm thankful for what this church has done for missionaries over and over again. And I'm thankful that I have the pleasure of spending so much intimate time with them and knowing them and learning them and seeing what they do and staying in touch. I did a video call with Kevin and Mariah this morning at 9 o'clock. Now, it was 2 o'clock there, but 9 o'clock here. I stay in touch. I get emails. And I think that we are going to, as a body of believers, we're going to move further into reaching the world than we ever have before. Pastor, I would have you and Pastor Joy come forward. We have a gifts for the two of you from Kevin and Mariah. Now, you can see I'm wearing a shirt that was a gift to me. And in Africa, men are like this. So this is a double extra large. I know in America it don't take that much. But anyway, shoulders are an issue in getting clothing. Well, They're the first, because it don't get to the belly if it don't get over the shoulders. So here we got this for you, Pastor. We're gonna believe it's going to fit.
Wow. Let me take my jacket off.
Yeah, take your jacket off. We'll see.
Oh,
love it.
I wasn't supposed to show that. I'm going to come around back.
Don't mess my hair up.
I know. That's why I'm coming to the back. You help me. Bring it down. And let's see here.
Woo!
Look at here. Man. Look at here. I'll give you that option. You can put it back in the pocket. It's okay if you want to. Right here.
It's the first time I've ever put on anything that was too large.
This is a chief's robe. Only a chief can wear one of these in Africa. And I've been fortunate enough that I have received several. Got two more on this trip. But every different tribe
decorates their chief's robe in a different fashion. Now, I can't tell you what tribe it comes from, but there are numerous different robes like this. But only the chief, only a man that is revered as their leader. And our chief has done a fantastic job. And he certainly deserves to be honored. Amen? Take your coat back. Of course, it's always about the jewelry. So I'm going to have Bonnie put this on Pastor Joy. Do what? It is simpler than the hat. And there's a card and some jelly or something there to go with it from them. I want you, the two of you, to know how much missionaries think of you, because you have been leaders. Other churches follow the lead of CSIC. They really do. And we are proud, Bonnie and I are proud to be a part here and to see your faithfulness to taking the gospel to the world. And this church has done more than we will ever know until we reach heaven. Amen? Miss Sydney, you have something you want to share? You may help you get out of that. You good? All right.
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know, with the shoeboxes, we ended up building 102 shoeboxes. So praise the Lord for that. And I just want to share a little bit that's 102 children who all over the world who are going to be able to be blessed by those boxes that were packed. And not only that, that's such a good way that leads them to the gospel, because those boxes are given by people in the community there. And then that just opens so many doors for them to hear about the Lord. So I just want to say thank you for everyone who helped out with that. Also, if you want, I still have more boxes. You can start packing them for next year. I know that this coming year, I want to pack one every, so do like four of them, pack one every season. So if you want to do that too, I mean, it helps spread the cost out a little bit more. I have some boxes upstairs, so if you're interested in that, just let me know. But I just wanted to pray for those boxes really quick also as they go out. So dear Lord, just thank you that we were able to build those boxes, and I just pray that as they do go out, that the kids who get them, you know exactly who each box will go to, that you'll bless them with those boxes, and that that will just be many doors opened up for them just to come to you one day. So just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be part of those kids' life. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sydney. Give Sydney a hand for leading that cause, Operation Christmas Child. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for your work in ministry all across the globe. Continue to pray for him and God's leadership. I believe that our church is set for a shift as well. I've had the privilege in my life of traveling to 29 countries. I don't get as much joy out of going. I get a whole lot more joy out of sending now. But I've always had a thrill and a fulfillment in seeing what God does in the lives of his people who go for the first time. It is a life-changing experience to travel for the Lord Jesus in another country. So if you feel the Lord speaking to your heart, if you even thought about it, that's probably an indication. I agree with you, Pastor Mike. And it takes about 10 people. We can use 10 people. So you know who you are. If God's speaking to you, we need some men, amen, that can do construction and help. You may say, well, I don't weld. You don't have to be a welder. We need welders, but you don't have to be a welder. We can use people to do other things. So allow God to speak to your heart, and I'm not worried about the money. I believe I can make a few phone calls outside of this church and have that done in just a short time. $10,000 is not a lot of money. And you showed us that you have a heart and generosity to give to missions. So if God speaks to you, go ahead and follow the Holy Spirit. But we'll believe God to take care of all of the financial part of that as well. Today, after the close of the service, we invite every one of you, amen, somebody say every one of us, every one of you invited to go back to the back and have lunch with us. It's a wedding shower. One of our team members, Tyler here, and Kayla are celebrating their wedding coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And we invite you to join us for lunch. There's a money tree on the table back there. And let's bless them. Let's bless our own today right here in our own Jerusalem with just a shower of love and appreciation for what they do. And bless them for their wedding celebration coming up real quickly. So that's immediately following the service. And we've got some pulled pork back there, sliders and chili and a charcuterie board. It's just a great spot back there. And it's a beautifully decorated for our gala coming up. So we get a chance to kind of test that out today. Praise God. Well, I want to speak to you today, the fourth in a series of messages that I've been bringing to you regarding faith for where we're going. Faith for where we're going. I want to speak to you today a message that I've titled A Culture of Offense. Let that sink in for just a second right now. A Culture of Offense. A Culture of Offense. In these last few weeks, as we've been talking about this, what I've been trying to do is identify some of the characteristics that we're facing in this world today. Some of the characteristics that even right here in America we're experiencing in this world in which we live in. I brought a message to you on confusion, talked about how the enemy tried to attack me as a person, as a believer, with confusion. We talk about the frustrations of the pandemic and all kinds of questions that begin just kind of circulating our mind and moving through the atmosphere. You know, can we trust our government? Do we subscribe or not subscribe to a vaccine? Is it really trustworthy means of dealing with the threat of COVID? Does the shot work? Will it work if I take it? We talked about all the likes of socialism as well in one of our messages appearing in our nation. It's showing up all the time, and how that is married to the ideas of the message that I spoke to you last week on globalism, where the world really isn't as large as we thought it was. Remember, it's a small world after all. God is speaking to our hearts here, downloading some truths that are just important for us to understand as we move through every season and a perspective of what life is dealing to us on this great planet Earth, and specifically in our part of it in America. And so we have to understand, too, that in globalism, we're going to see that biblical prophecy fulfilled, that one day, somebody say one day this world will be governed for a season by a single leader known as who? Antichrist. In other words, in this series of faith for where we're going, I'm trying to prepare you to present to you the truths of the Bible, while at the same time, hopefully, I'm inspiring you to press forward in your faith. Amen? I'm amazed that even the songs that we sang this morning, even the words that were shared from the lips of Pastor Mike, a return to love and faith and pressing in, the things that Andy shared when he had the microphone in his hand. You know, what is it you're really trusting? Come on. God has packaged together today a message that every one of us who've had a microphone in our hand have been a part and parcel to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us today. I'm trying to inspire you. I'm trying to prepare you in your faith and combat the ills, here we go, of discouragement. It's so easy to become discouraged today. This set of ideals, this package of what I call antichrist tactics, if you will, that would seek to discourage you, that would seek to destroy you, and to pull you away from faith in God. It doesn't take a rocket scientist for you just to look around this morning and look at empty seats. Amen. I'm not discouraged as a pastor. I'm quite encouraged, because you know what? Everything about the ministry here has moved forward. It has excelled. It has advanced. It has been, it's like raising up the tent stakes and stretching out to greater borders. But I do get concerned when I look into the local house of God on a Sunday morning and I see a lot of empty seats. And people just by nature nature are afraid. People just by nature are kind of shying away, you know, from gathering together on a Sunday morning. When all the while we should be pressing in and believing God that His hand is upon us and that we don't have to worry and that no weapon formed against any of us is going to prosper because God is ultimately in control. Can you say amen? Today we want to share yet another one of those characteristics that Jesus said would be on display. Hear me now. Jesus said this would be on display in the last days. It is that of a culture of offense. I heard Matt just share briefly from the microphone this morning that somebody had the audacity to attack him about tattoos this morning. Come on. Did that happen in the house? Okay. Someone had the audacity to attack a man about a tattoo. You want to attack me? I got one. Why would you attack somebody about a tattoo? Why would you attack somebody about a hairdo? Why would you attack somebody about a pastime that they love? Or why would you attack somebody? Because we should be known today as a culture of love. Okay? I don't like tattoos. Well, why'd you get one? I explained that to you. I like Matt. That's it. I have a tattoo because when COVID came, he was facing being shut down. And it was a very inexpensive tattoo. But it was worth it to me to go down there and say, you know what, partner? I love you. I'm concerned about you. And if he was selling hamburgers, I would have bought a hamburger. But he wasn't selling hamburgers. He was selling tattoos. So guess what I fell in love with for at least 30 minutes? A tattoo. Okay? You don't have to make, it don't have to make sense to you, but I followed the Holy Spirit, okay? And so it only needed to make sense to me, okay? And so here's what we must understand. You and I have landed ourselves in this season of our life in a culture of offense. Hear me, a culture of offense. I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about this morning. A culture of offense. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 24, the verses are 10 to 12. Very simple. Matthew 24, the verses are 10 to 12. And I've chosen this morning just because I love the flow of the words here, the King James translation. Amen? I've always loved the language of the King James specifically in this passage. And then Jesus says this. He said, and then shall many be what? Offended. Check this out. In these last days, Jesus said, you're going to come upon a season of your life. You're going to come upon a season of your experience where people will be easily offended. You know, you don't have to look very far. Some people are offended with you because you don't have a mask on. Some people are offended at you because you have a mask on. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is very easy today for people to be offended. Some people are offended today because you took the vaccine, while others, if you flip the coin, are offended because you didn't take the vaccine. Okay, and guess what? Every once in a while, you're going to hear what the news has said to us just yesterday or the day before. Congratulations, we have a third variant of this thing. It is not going away. I think I've told you that before. It is not going away because the Bible says that in these last days, there would be pestilences, okay? There would be an S added to it. And just when you think we've got one of them conquered, guess what? Mutations, here comes another one. This is the day in which we find ourselves living. But Jesus said this. He said, many shall be offended. And guess what? He said it will move from offense to they shall betray one another. Amen? Has anyone ever been offended here in the church? Have someone offended you and maybe, you know, you don't come to church? Maybe you're listening to us online today and you're watching at home, but you're not coming because somebody offended you. Because you came to church and you didn't have a mask on, or they didn't see you sanitize your hands, or we're living in a culture today that is easily offended. And the Bible says, Jesus records this, they will also not just be offended, but they will betray one another. And it will go deeper than that. It will get down into the recesses of their heart, and they will actually begin to what? Hate one another. Many false prophets, he said, shall arise during this process. And he said, they shall deceive many. And he said in verse 12, the epitome of all of this messing up of relationships
it will cause iniquity to abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, we will not be known as a culture in America of a warm and friendly people. There, have you ever heard anybody say, man, I love y'all's southern hospitality? That's out the window, man. Now, you're not going to find southern hospitality, okay? Why? Because people in their relationship have become offended and betrayed and hateful. And because of that, the love or the hospitality that they once possessed has been gone out the door. Remember how it used to be when you were riding down the road years ago and you saw somebody just kind of trudging along their way, walking, and as you got up close to them, what did they do? They turned around and they just did this, like they're wanting what? Want a ride. Oh, there was a season in your life, and there was a season in my life where you would easily just pull over on the side of the road and say, partner, hop in. Where are you going? Now you don't stop for anybody. You don't. Why? Because you can't trust people. Okay? There was a time when you used to leave your doors unlocked. You don't leave your doors unlocked anymore unless you're crazy. Because people will break into your house. People will steal the things that are yours. And so we have to understand the culture has shifted, and we are now alive and well on planet Earth in a season that we are calling a culture of offense. Some people call it the cancel culture. Welcome to the holiday season. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving? Happy Thanksgiving. Well, I read some article just this past week that caught my attention that declared that the kindergarten teachers were all wrong. The holiday of Thanksgiving is a complete mix-up about falsehoods concerning pilgrims and Native Americans, and the meal that we eat in that tradition is really a far cry from what they experienced, and that pumpkin pie was not even in the mix. Come on, somebody. Okay? I know you're disappointed. I know it makes you want to pack up your collard greens and your dressing and your gravy and just say, well, I guess we'll just cook steaks next year. Some people do that already, okay? Some people don't have that traditional meal. So there, you can cancel your order for the big turkey next year, the gravy and the collard greens. And following Thanksgiving, we're now staring in the face of what? Christmas. It's the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But be careful, you don't want to offend anybody when you put up your Christmas tree. And so the stores will call them, in many cases, holiday trees. Because God forbid that you should offend somebody by using the name of Jesus. You have to cancel, come on, you have to cancel your Christ-suggestive words that make the season what it is. If you don't, my goodness, you could offend somebody. It's a culture called the what? The cancel culture. Just this past week, Pastor Joy and I were traveling on the road, and we passed through a city, and she just, in a very quick moment, she said, oh my goodness! I said, what did I miss? She said, look at that. She said, that statue is completely gone. There's nothing there but a completely flat platform of granite. Somebody had gone in there in that city and removed a statue that once had an indication or a meaning or a value of something. And it's gone. And all over this country, statues are destroyed. And just when you begin to crucify me and say, oh yeah, you can say that because you're a white brother. Guess what? I did the research. Martin Luther King, 62, 63, some odd statues in America. There was more than just one in Washington, D.C., where the heads of Martin Luther King are busted off with a sledgehammer and thrown into the streets. Okay? Statues of white men, statues of black men, statues of all kinds of people, destroyed and thrown into the streets. Removed because we don't want to do what? Offend anybody. Okay? We don't want to offend anybody. So the statue is canceled. It just seems weird to not give credit to Aunt Jemima for her pancakes and her syrup. I'm sorry. I watch the television at night, and it says, don't forget this on the holidays. You need to get your Pearl Milling Company syrup. I don't want Pearl Milling Company syrup. I want Aunt Jemima's syrup. Okay? It didn't offend me that they, you know, that they had her on the bottle. It offends me that they don't. Okay? Come on, somebody. It offends me that they don't. You say, well, you know, it might be a little different perspective for you. That's what I'm talking about. We're living in a culture today where people are easily offended at little or nothing, something as simple as pancake syrup. You know what? I don't like the things that I see, and I know some of you don't, but it's where we are. It's just where we are. Well, it's the cancel culture that cancels or removes your history, erases your remembrances, removes the icons that made some of them famous. Why? Because I'm offended. Guess what? Jesus said that this would happen. He said, many shall be offended. I looked up that word in the original language. You know what it is? It's scandalized. That word offended is like setting a trap for someone to reach into that arena or reach into that world and go, and get trapped by just something simple. It's scandalized to put a stumbling block or an impediment in the way upon which another may trip and actually fall. It's a metaphor meaning to offend, to cause one displeasure at a thing, to be indignant or to be displeased about something. You know, I mean, people get so angry over little or nothing anymore. And Jesus said that this would occur in our lives of many people. A lot, a whole bunch, if you will. And he went on to say that in verse 10, and then there shall be many that shall be offended and shall do what? And shall betray one another. What does that word mean? Well, betray means to deliver someone over up to custody, to face judgment, to be condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, or even put to death. That's what it means to betray one another. To hate, to detest and pursue someone with a spirit of hatred. Jesus said that this would happen and the end result would manifest in verse 12. He said, let me just tell you this. The love of people would wax cold. Amen? You would have people that would just, where there used to be love, there would be indifference, intolerance, and even hatred among people's countenance. In other words, Jesus said that we would feed out hatred with actions that would lead us to a very cold persona in our churches, in our communities, in our shopping centers. Isn't it amazing that the Master himself, Jesus himself, the one who said this, once said this also in John 13:35. He said, one of the beautiful earmarks, one of the beautiful characteristics of Christianity, following Christ, giving your life to him, is that you would have an amazing love for one another. John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are what? That you are my disciple. You are my pupil. You are my student. You are the one who will take in a position of a student and you will sit and learn of my ways. You will learn of my heart. You will learn of my statutes. You will learn of my precepts. You will be Christ follower. And one thing that will manifest out of you will be an incredible amount of unconditional love. I will not judge you because you have a tattoo. I will not judge you because you don't wear a suit and tie. I will not judge you because you don't do this or that. But listen, I can see it. Even in the church today, we have our list of do's and don'ts, okay? There are people here that would judge you for your actions, judge you for your behaviors, judge you for what you said you saw on television. You've enjoyed maybe you enjoyed a series on Netflix, and someone say, what? You watch that? In other words, there's a judgment that is cast, and instead of just loving someone and saying, you know what, maybe I can't watch that, but maybe he or she can, you know? And so, by this, all men will know that you're my disciple. That's what we were noted for love. And then right before your very eyes, even proclaiming Christians will jump right into the mix and be offended. Amen? The offense moves to betrayal. The betrayal moves to hatred. The hatred will ultimately lead to your love for people and your love for God's kingdom and your love for the world to wax cold. The last days Antichrist spirit wants you to be offended. Come on. I said the last days Antichrist spirit wants you to be offended. The last days Antichrist spirit wants you to hate. It wants you to betray. It wants you to lose that very characteristic that sets you apart. That is the love of God. That's why the media is like gas on a fire. They will take a court case. They will take a shooting. And the first question that is asked once the bullet is fired is, was he black or was he white? And they love it when some, you know, and then someone will come along and say, wait a minute, you know, it's the blacks killing the blacks. And listen, people are killing people. Whites are killing whites. Blacks are killing blacks. Blacks are killing whites. And whites are killing blacks. People are killing each other. And we do not have love in the world today. One song said it well several years ago. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love, and we don't have it even in the church. Come on. I'm preaching like a leader this morning. Come on, I got me a suit on today. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Come on. That's a worldly song. How dare you sing it in the church? It's true. Amen. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs is love. Amen? I love it when people show up in the church that I've never seen before. They look a little different than me. I just get excited. I'm hanging out with my boy Matt over here. I stood beside him this morning and I thought, good gracious, man. He's tall. I thought I was tall. And I went and stood beside him. And I've been following him on Facebook and watching him lift weights and arm wrestle and do all those kinds of things. He was just simply invited by another person who lifts weights and arm wrestles, sitting on the front row. I don't know who I could be talking about, but Zach just invited him to church. Here's a guy who just a couple of weeks ago sent me a private text. Hey, Pastor, love that word today. I learned so much. Okay, but yet somebody in the house would look at his arms and judge him to a certain level. Friends, this has got to go. This has got to go. There's no room in the body of Christ for that kind of judgment. There's not. Listen, if you're black, somebody judged you just because you were black. If you're white, somebody just called you prejudiced just because you're white. The world is so messed up. And the only cure for the world is the same cure that it's always been. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, where we die to the flesh and we rise up again in newness of life. It's okay. I'm a Christian first, and then I get to pull for the Redskins. I'm a Christian first, and then I get to be white. I'm a Christian first, and then I'm a Republican. Or would you rather me be a Democrat? See, some of you will take that right now and say, what? What? You mean he's a Republican? What difference does it make? We're not running the country anyway. Okay? Come on now, let this just settle in for a second. What the world needs is love. We need the love of Jesus. This last day's Antichrist spirit wants you to be offended. It wants you to choose sides when you hear the story on the news, okay? When you don't even know the details, but they want you to make a quick judgment. And that's why they sell that. They market hatred on our television systems today, and we pay $50, $60, $70, $100 a month to get it piped into our house, okay? Dish Network, DirecTV. We pay money to pipe in confusion to our homes. Think about it. Think about it. This last day's Antichrist spirit manifests hatred, betrayal, a cold spirit. While listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He puts at the very top of the list, for the fruit of relationship with God through Christ that manifests the Spirit inside of you. The top of the list is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay? And then if you have love, you'll have joy. If you have joy, you'll have peace. If you have peace, right on down the line. But the top of the list is love. Love. When the early church was born, Luke records this in the book of Acts chapter 4. Check this out. Let's read about the church, not of today. Let's read about the church of the first century. All the believers, red and yellow, black and white, Amen? All of them. Tattooed, non-tattooed, okay? Hair in a bun, hair hanging down long. Doesn't matter. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Those who dressed, those who didn't dress. Those who had money, those who were broke. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the Bible says, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses would sell them, and they would simply bring the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed by the apostles to anyone who had a need. Today, you can't even get a believer just to pay their tithe. Our brother spoke well about it today when he said, this is just the commandment. This is just a commandment. You're commanded to give 10% of your money to the Lord Jesus. You can give more. That's called an offering. But some of you are not even paying tithes. And you wonder why you have the problems you have. Because the Bible is clear. If you pay your tithes, he said, I will step in and I will rebuke the devourer who tries to come against you and your finances. Okay? If it's a conditional promise, you don't have to do it. But if you do, he says, I will see to it that the windows of heaven will be thrown open. And he's running after me. The goodness of God is chasing you down. Why? Because you chose to do the simple things that God requires. Man, I just love to see God meet needs. Amen. I got a thing in the mail this week from one of our members who faithfully writes us. Once a month, I get a card in the mail. Imagine that, in a day of text messages and instant messenger, I get an ink-written card every month. Every month for the last probably 15 years, this lady writes me, Dear Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, thank you for the call. We had called. You know, going down the road, we make calls to people in the homes that can't get out. It was good to hear your voice and get an update on your family. God is so good. Look at the favor that he has shown to you and Pastor Joy. Prayers are for you for his continued blessings to cover your households. The lighthouse reminds me that the light that shines within the Christian must shine out to all we meet, all we talk with, all we touch in any way. This is a pass-it-on principle that I've lived by my entire life. She says, I'm proud to be a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus, and I want to make sure that I continue to let it shine. That's why she writes me a card, because she just wants to take her role as an intercessor, as a believer in Christ, a Christ follower, and she's chosen to fan the flames of her pastor and say, I just want to encourage you. I'm praying God's favor over you and your households. Yes. She said, every day y'all got so many grand youngins now, I can't call their names, so I just say all their grandkids. She said, I think God knows what I'm talking about. Okay? This is what we should be spreading. Love. Love, not hate. Not hate. Man, the power of a written note today in a technological world. God's grace, the Bible says, was shown powerfully in the early church because they manifested an unconditional love. And my challenge to you today is this. You need faith for where we're going. You need faith for where we are, because this is a mean culture. There's nothing that the devil would love any more than to get into the mix of this church and try to bring confusion and discord and jealousy and hatred. But guess what? I believe that angels surround this place. I believe that angels surround this property, and God's blessing is upon this church. And I look at you every week and I'm so proud of you, because you have destroyed the principles of prejudice in this community. You're a city set upon a hill that can never be hidden, and you come together and you sincerely love one another. God can do something with unity. Come on, somebody. It's clearly written on the mission of this house. Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational body of believers whose mission is to do what? To love all people, to win them to Christ, to build them in discipleship, and to send them out to fulfill their divine destiny. Love, win, build, and send. Let's be intentional in our efforts to love people. Unity is where the Father says what? I command my blessing there. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is. How good and pleasant it is, the Father says, when God's people will live together in unity. That verse 1 says that God calls for a sense of permanence. You just don't go to the funeral of a person, you know, well, you know, they did. We did work together for 20 years, so I'm going to go to the funeral. I generally don't do black funerals, but I'm going to theirs because we worked together for so many years. No, you just don't celebrate people when death happens. You do this in a sense of permanence. How good it is when you dwell together. You live together. You permanently are connected to people because they're people. Amen? Come on. You're permanently connected to them. It's not temporary. He says, let me tell you what it's like. He says in verse 2, it's like precious oil. He uses a metaphor here. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. This is a metaphor here. Verse 2, it's a type of the Holy Spirit. When you're connected and united with a body of believers like you are here, he says it becomes a type of oil. And oil in the Bible is always a type of what? The Holy Spirit. There's an anointing upon you simply because you're connected to this church. Let me let this sink in. There's an anointing upon your life simply because you're connected to this church. Because this church has a standard that other churches don't. Okay? I've even had this hit me in the real estate market. And I knew it would. I knew I'd be tested. I remember showing a house one day to a person. And a lady walked across the street after I got through showing it. She said, do you think they're interested? I said, well, they are because I showed it to them. Why? She said, I don't want that in this community. I said, pardon me? She said, well, you know. I said, no, you need to explain yourself. I knew exactly what she was talking about, but I wanted her to articulate this. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, I don't. Because you know what? I decided long ago that the only race of people on this earth is the human race. That's it. And can I tell you something? If a real estate agent gets caught trying to maneuver cultures and races into the housing market, man, you're not only going to lose your license, you're going to be in some big trouble. So not only is it law for me, it's life for me, okay? I love people, okay? I love people. That's why my family portrait is as colorful as it is, okay? It may not look like some of yours, but mine is fun to watch, amen? Because I see a beautiful display of what God's love can do in humanity. Verse 3 says, it is a metaphor used again. He says, when people are united first with his heart and his mind and his spirit, and they're united together, he said, it is like a dew that is on Mount Hermon falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord does what? He commands, he bestows, he releases his blessings upon that forevermore. It's a type of refreshing. I've been to Mount Hermon before, 9,000 feet above sea level. I remember standing at the base of Mount Hermon, sweating, man, just sweating profusely, using my little bag, what do they call those things, fanny packs. Why do they call it fanny and I wear it on my front? I wear it right here. This ain't, I guess you're supposed to wear it back there. I'm not sure. But I reach into my fanny pack and I'm wiping sweat. And I'm looking, I'm standing here by the brook, just a little stream. I'm standing here at the base of Mount Hermon waiting for the rest of the people to catch up with me. And I said to the guide, I said, man, what? I don't get this. I look up at the top of that mountain, and it's just as white as this ceiling. I said, "What? Talk to me about it." He said, "Oh, that's the dew of God." I said, "What?" He said, "That's the dew of God." He said, "That's snow, my friend." And he said, Psalm 33 said, "It is as the dew of Hermon, or falling on Mount Zion." Because he said, "What you don't understand is that dew, that snow, is going to melt when the sun hits it. And it's going to flow down that mountain, and it's going to end up to be right here." He said, "Wallace Phillips, you are standing at the beginning of the River Jordan. That brings refreshing to the entire nation of Israel as it runs through God's promised land." He said, "It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion." That brings a refreshing for a nation that gets an average rainfall of 4 inches a year. We get that in one rain on a big day. But a nation that gets an average rainfall of 4 inches in a year needs to be refreshed, and refreshing comes in Israel to the promised land through the great Jordan River that is piped out over the fields in irrigation. And he says, when you come together, listen to this, when you come together as believers and you are united with my heart, the Lord says, it's just like the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Do a study. What is Mount Zion in the Bible? It is a type of the church. That's when the refreshing of God hits the church. The love of God hits the church. And we should be known as a people, a culture, not of offense, a culture of love. A culture of love. Amen? That's why, listen, in my early days, when I began to teach intentionality in the church, I would use a restaurant here in town. I won't call the name, but I would use a restaurant here in town. I wrote about it in my book. And I would tell people, look, when you go in that restaurant, man, don't stop on the first side, sit on the second. Walk in that restaurant. If you're white, you go left. If you're black, you take a right. So when I walked in the building, what did I do? I took a right. I sit where I'm not supposed to sit, okay? The elite, the white, the aristocrats of Ahoskie sit on the left-hand side of the restaurant. I'm not going to go sit down with them because I don't think like them. I think like the other people. So when I go into a grocery store and it's packed and there's, man, they need another register open, but they're not going to open another register. It costs them too much. So there's registers are full of people. The lines are long. And some lady comes up who looks just like me. And she opens the register. "I'll take you down here, Pastor Phillips. Come on." No, I got in line intentionally in front of a cashier who does not look like me. Because I want to stand face to face with her. And she's black and I'm white, and I teach her about white and she teaches me about black. Okay? And so I intentionally align myself with people who are not like me. Okay? Come on, somebody say, "He's a rebel." Yeah, I'm a rebel. But you know what? My rebel has built this church. Come on. My rebel has built a place here in this city where people can come together, and they come together because they want to, not because they have to. It's a culture of love, not a culture of offense. Today, the heat has been turned up. You are living at an era of time where there is a tremendous culture of offense that is alive and rampant on our nation today. The news wants you to get angry when someone's killed. They want you to get angry when someone's done wrongly, because you turn up the heat on division. You turn up the heat on confusion. You turn up the heat. But we're a culture of love. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have what? Love one for another. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you, God, for these agents of change, these people, God, who love despite the external. People who love despite the color of their skin. People who love despite their differences. They love one another, and they love you, and they love other people. And so I pray that the culture of the church today would be shaken, not just in Ahoskie, but all over this nation. That the church would be shaken. That they would ask some hard questions like Andy asked today. What are you trusting? Who are you trusting? That they would evaluate God internally, their relationship with you. And that we would be blessed today because we know how to love everybody. And that we would do our part to destroy a cancel culture. A culture that wants to do away with our history if it's as simple as a bottle of pancake syrup. God, I pray that you would do a work in our lives. That the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the power, listen to me, friends, in the power of the Holy Ghost would be manifested in our lives every day we live. Let it be so. We need this today because we need faith for where we're going. Faith to stand stronger than we've ever stood before in the midst of an opposing society who breeds hatred and division and confusion. Lord, let it be so in our lives as we seek your goodness today. God, would you chase us down? Would you run after us with your goodness? In Jesus' strong name. Let me have a team of prayer people. Could I, just for a moment, as our worship team comes back, let us have a team of prayer people and people that can help us here to just release blessings. I just hear the Lord say, releasing the blessing. Releasing the blessing. You say, what kind of blessing? The blessing, the anointing, the refreshing. You know, we have to be reminded sometimes that this is the culture that we've signed up for. A culture of love. A culture of blessing. So if you're here today, come on, please stand and just prepare yourself just to step out. Just prepare yourself to step out for a moment and just come and just lay your hand on somebody. Let them lay their hand on you. Let them just release a fresh release of God's blessing and refreshing upon your life, because you're going to go out of this world. And guess what? It's safe in here, man. It's safe in here. But the world is mean. Wouldn't you agree that, Bobby? The world is mean, man. They'll judge you. Listen, they'll judge you simply because of the color of your skin. I remember my daughter telling me one day, she said, Pops, the whole family calls me Pops. She said, Pops, pray for Jeremy. This was when the Black Lives Matter heat was rolling, and the I Hate Trump was rolling, and the politicians were waving their flags, and the whole nation of America was in an uproar. And she said to me, Mother Jenny, she said, pray for Jeremy. I said, Abby, help me here. Look, I don't know what you mean. Listen to this, Bobby. I don't know what you mean. She said, Dad, she said, Jeremy is a black man. And every morning he takes Ava, who has a predominant gene that is lighter. He puts her in the car in the back seat all by himself. And he gets out on the highway. And she says, every time he sees a traffic stop, she said, he gets really nervous. I said, Abby, help me here. She said, Dad, when the lawman looks at Jeremy and then he looks in the back seat and sees that little predominantly white child, I said, man, Abigail, I didn't think like that. She said, I know, but I'm just telling you because it's real to Jeremy. When the news hits and everybody's labeled simply because of the color of their skin, your son-in-law is involved in that. Man, I had to chew on that all day, Woody. I had to think about that. Wow. I never thought about that. I never thought about that. And so now I find myself when I'm praying in the morning, God, I pray that you will watch over Jeremy today, and as he maneuvers around and takes the kids to the
daycare. Lord, would you drop that peace of God all over him? Would you not let him have to deal with that? Would you not let him be judged by someone of a different spirit? See, I don't judge people by their skin, but the world does. Okay? The world does. But when we come to that cross, come on, man. When we come to that cross, your rights die. You don't have a right to act like that. You don't have a right to judge like that. Your rights were nailed to the cross. You're a Christian, and then you can pull for NC State. Okay? And I'm glad you did, okay? Because God did a miracle in 25 seconds. Come on. Come on. Woo! Eat your heart out, Tar Heels. Woo! Eat your heart out, Tar Heels. God did a miracle. And he put points on the board two times. Come on, somebody. He's a God of miracles. Amen. Come on, somebody say wolf pack. Come on. Listen, all jokes aside, I think you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying today. Why don't you stand? Why don't you come? And just let somebody just briefly speak a word of blessing. There may be a prophetic word released upon you. There may just be a touch for God's anointing. There may be a touch for God's healing. Just come quickly. Let them minister to you. And then go on back to the back and let's celebrate somebody who's chosen to get married. Come on. Lunch is on us today. Praise the Lord. Come on, that's right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Lift up your voice with a shout and let God have the glory today. In Jesus' name. Come on, sing about it.
The Lord has been good to this house and its inhabitants. Father, I thank you for your love that you've poured out on us. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us your love. And we experience it every day. And I ask you, Lord, as we leave this place and as we go celebrate with this special couple this morning, that we will keep continue to spread that goodness, that love that you have given us. Let us love others like you have loved us. Now all this week, Lord, we're your soldiers. We're on assignment. Remind us, Lord, that we're yours, and send us out. And let us be your representatives everywhere we go, in everything we do. Let us be mindful that we're on assignment. And your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. We pray your blessings. We pray your peace. And we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget to go to the back.